It's good stuff, right? Take your Bibles, go to 1 Samuel. I'm not used to this setup. We're going to do the play Sunday, both services. So come out and see both times or invite some people that let them know it'll be 11 and a 6. No Sunday school service Sunday morning. Want to use all the classrooms to do the play parts. Take your Bible, go to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 1. I want to look at this a little bit differently than I've ever looked at it, than we've ever looked at it. I know I've preached here before, but I want to show you some things. I want to look at some characters in this a little bit deeper. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 1. Say amen when you're there. I still hear pages turning, so I'll let those desperate two or three make it. All right, there we go. All right, all right. The last amen. Is there one more? All right, 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 1. Now there was a certain man of Ramoth Zophim of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jehoram, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuph, an Ephrathite. And he had two wives, and the name of one was Hannah, and the name of the other was Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. And this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priest of the Lord, were there. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife, and to her sons and her daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. And her adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her fret because the Lord had shut up her womb. And he did so year by year, and went up unto the house of the Lord, and so provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Then said Elkanah, her husband, to her, Hannah, why weepest thou? And why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better to thee than 10 sons? So Hannah rose up after that they had eaten in the Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon the seat by the post of the temple of the Lord, and she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thy handmaid and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but will give thou unto thy handmaid a man-child, then will I give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth, and Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought that she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away the wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, no, my lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count thou not thy handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee the petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, let thine handmaiden find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. And they rose up in the morning early and worshiped before the Lord and returned and came to the hither to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived, she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked of him of the Lord. And the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah went not up. For she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned, and then I will bring him, that he may appear before the Lord, and there abide forever. And Elkanah, her husband, said unto her, do what seemeth good Tarry until we have weaned him. Only the Lord establish his word. So the woman abode and gave her son suck until she weaned him. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bullocks and one ephah of flour and a bottle of wine and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young. And they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I ask of him. Verse 28, therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord, and he worship the Lord there. Let me take a deep breath. That's a lot of reading, right? And at first I thought, was I going to read all that? And I said, yeah, because I want to preach some people out of this instead of the whole subjects. First, I want to preach about Hannah. Hannah was had a desire in her heart that she couldn't explain to anybody. She had a desire to have a child more than she could ever want anything else. She wanted a child so bad that it seemed like something on the inside of her was saying, you're a mom, before she was a mom. But she had a disqualification of being a mother. She was barren. Do you understand what I'm saying? She was barren. So now all of a sudden it seemed like the thing, I'm going to preach this, I hope you get it, the thing that God was pressing in her spirit that seemed like she was a mother and was supposed to be a mother for God and by God, but she was disqualified because she couldn't do, or it seemed like she could not do, the thing that God was pressing in her spirit to do. Are y'all good? Now, I was sitting there studying, I'm thinking, over time, I can't explain to you this. I can't explain how it feels to be pressed into something. I almost sometimes want to look at this and say, don't preach this to everybody at the church, because some people feel like you're disqualifying them and promoting somebody else. I'm not. I'm just telling you the truth. When God presses you to do stuff, it's different than anything else you'll experience. Amen? Salvation's one thing, but being pressed into a calling is another thing. And I can't explain it. You'll just have to go through it. If you haven't been through it, then I hope you get the experience. If you have been through it, every once in a while, nod your head and say, amen, preacher, you're helping me. Amen? But Hannah, she felt like, I want a child. Amen? And I know I'm supposed to be a mom for God. But she couldn't have any children. So the thing that she was pressed to do, she couldn't do. So guess what she did? She went to God and she says, God, she goes up into the temple, she stops eating, stops drinking. That means she's fasting because she's serious, because there's something on the inside of her that's greater than what's going on the outside of her. So she's going to get serious with God and says, look, you're sending me what it seems like to me a mixed signal. God, wish y'all. You're wanting me to be a mom, but you ain't giving me the qualifications to be one. Amen? And now I want to know why, if there's something going on in my spirit that's telling me to be something that it seems like you're forbidding me to be. So two things have got to happen here. One, take it away. Y'all get it? Take away the calling. Take away the press. Take away the desire. Or make us both happy. Give me a baby. And give me a baby that I'll give him back to you. Amen? Do you hear her plea? When you're serious, listen, I'm being honest with you. When you're serious about what God's pressing in your spirit to do for him, you will do it for him and him alone, not anybody else. You'll say stuff like this: no matter what, I'll do it. No matter if I get any credit, I'll do it. No matter if anybody ever recognizes, I'll do it. Listen, can I go one step further with you? No matter if it happens or not, I'll still love you. Amen? And they mean I'm going to get over it. I'm just going to be up here. I'm going to still love you. Do you notice, can I preach just a little bit further on Hannah? You notice she didn't go to the club. She did not go to and find a bunch of different people, friends or acquaintances and shrinks and doctors. Don't get mad at me when I say that. She just didn't go for everybody else's understanding. She went to God. You understand what I'm saying? Now, I want you to let you know she's a part of a family. And don't get after church, meet me and say, why did a man have two wives? And I'm like, I don't know, but can I say it like this? Maybe it's because like this, God's married to the church and the church has many brides. Can we just go there? Can I take a little bit of liberty right there? And let me preach on her adversary. Can I preach on her adversary? I believe Penn and I is the adversary, but we know one thing, it doesn't matter if it's Penn and I or not. It is Satan. Amen? Because we wrestle not against flesh and blood and principalities. We rush against principalities in positions in higher places. Right? So we're wrestling against the devil. He just manipulates people sometimes to get to us. Can I say that? Most of the time to get to us. He manipulates people. That means other people and us to get to us. Whew. Some of y'all got all spiritual there. Ain't the devil no manipulating me. Yeah, he does. Yeah, he does. I didn't say he possessed you. I said he manipulates you. Amen? He knows you pretty good. Amen? You and him got in trouble for a long time in your life before you got saved. Amen? All right? So he knows what to put out there. All right? Okay. So Penn and I, let's just say it's Penn and I. Penn and I is in the family too. Praise. I could preach the whole night on this. She's in the family too. Let me go ahead and break it down. She's in the church too. And she got kids and kids and kids. Right? She's just popping kids out left and right. Well, God, I'm pregnant again. Man, well, golly. I wonder if Vincent's going to be a boy or a girl or both. Could be both. I mean, it's just lottery. Every 9 or 10 months, me and Elkin, we're having a baby. Hey, Hannah, where's your baby? Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. You hold one of mine? Huh? You hold one of my babies? Hey, could you watch one of my kids? Because I got so many, I get so busy. We're praying for you that you have one too, but I got plenty. They think of you as an aunt. Ooh, you hear me? It said she had an adversary who constantly, right? Constantly. Be careful. Listen, I was thinking about this. Be careful at stuff that you're real good at the church that somebody else struggles with or prays about and can't get done. Just because you're good at it doesn't mean you're anointed. It doesn't mean that God's favored you over somebody else. Can I explain that a little bit better for you? Name one of Penn and I's kids. I can't figure one out either. In the Bible, it only says boys and girls. But at the top of the page, I'm happy. At the top of the page, amen, Hannah's boys' names at the top of the page. We are in the book of Samuel. Be careful how you look at somebody who struggles to do something you take for granted. And you wear them out about it because God might not be blessing you over them. Maybe He's just blessing you to see how you'll do with something that He's giving you. Amen? Maybe He's giving you a lot of something or a lot of talent in that area and you're wasting it. But, oh, I guess I could preach for a day. Just showing out over somebody else who struggles to do what you do. She could have took her time and energy and developed each one of those children, right? Instead of worrying about wearing Hannah out, about not being a good wife. You know what I mean? There's a whole lot of issues there. Amen? But she did have an adversary. Can we go backwards? Can I preach a little bit back? Listen, I hope y'all get this. Whatever you've been called to do, most of the time, that's where your adversary shows up the most. Amen? So listen, take it as a strategy. Whatever you go to do or you feel like you've been called to do, not only will you feel inadequate, maybe even a roadblock of not being able to do it, the enemy meets you there. Golly, I wish I could have a couple more days to work on that with you. But when the enemy attacks as believers, sometimes instead of pressing right through that to get what we want, what God wants, we turn away from it because we met an adversary. And we'd rather not fight sometimes. We'd rather not have to go through what it takes to have something special because we have to fight for it. Nothing easy, nothing worth doing comes out easy, even in the spiritual world, amen? So she had an adversary. Once again, Hannah does the right thing. She doesn't constantly, God, this is so good. She doesn't go and have war with Peninnah. She goes and does battle with God against her adversary. Amen? I'm not gonna sit here and argue with you. I'm just not going to partake of the food and drink. I'm not satisfied. Golly, I was, some of you, are you not satisfied with God? Yeah, no, I'm satisfied with God. I'm satisfied with Jesus. I'm just not satisfied with not being productive as a believer. There's more to me than just sitting around the house being blessed. I want to be a part of it. Does anybody else want to be a part of it? Hannah's like, I don't care. I'm desperate. I'm desperate. I got a calling in my life. I don't know how God's going to do it. And I got an adversary, and I've got an adversary. But then she had a husband too. Amen? I love this husband. Amen? Elkanah's a good guy. And he's just like every other husband. We fix it. No, shut up, Kevin. We try to fix it, which is the problem. Come on, women, help me out. Wife's got a problem. Woman's got a problem. What's my, what do you want me to do about it? Nothing. Well, what are you talking about the problem then? Because they don't want it. They don't want us to fix it. They just want us to hear it. Okay, most of the time. Amen? If it's a leaky sink, they want you to fix it. All right, never mind. Move on. Yeah, stop now. Stop now, Kevin. Stop now. All right, listen. Elkanah, he goes to her and he says, listen, I'm treating you better than my productive wife. See? Huh? And he throws in kids. Aren't I better to you than 10 sons? The answer's no. Right? You can't fill the void that God has put in certain people. When I see Elkanah, I don't really see a husband right here. I see pastors and leaders. And sometimes we look out across the room and we see talented people and we see not as talented people, or we see real gifted, obvious gifted people, and we see other people and we put them in categories. And he had already put them in categories. This is my productive wife and this is my unproductive wife, but I love her, so I'll supplement her and my supplementation will be good enough for her. Huh? What you want to say is, hey, my preaching, my singing, my everything's going to be, if you'll just show up to church, you'll be satisfied. Hey, some people will not be just satisfied off of what you're doing. They want to be in it with God. Amen? They want to be in it with God too. And they're not, they're glad. I love this. They're glad you're preaching. They're glad you're singing. They're glad you're teaching. But don't get to the points where you've already put a ceiling over them, and that's as far as they can go. No, you say, hey, why are you so desiring to do this? I don't know, but there's something in me that's bigger than what's going on in me right now. Amen? Here's what I believe Hannah was going. I can see me being a mom. But nobody else can see it. And don't get hung up on what I'm saying to being a mom. Some of y'all have great callings on your life. Some of you are operating in them. Some of you have gotten things from God, and it sounds crazy to everybody else. How are you going to do that? I don't know how I'm going to do that, but I do know it's in me to do. Right? Ain't I taking good enough care of you? Yeah, in the physical. But what I need is a spiritual answer. There's some voids only God can fill. And I love you, and I love your role. But what's missing in me can't be filled by you. It'll be filled by God, and I'm trying. Right? I love what he asked her. Why are you so depressed? Why are you so down? Why are you not eating? Why won't you get on board? Because I'm desperately seeking God, not you. Ain't that good? I love people who challenge leadership. Not challenge them in a bad way. Challenge them to be better. Hey, man, it's scary, ain't it? A firebrand comes along, somebody fired up, excited. You got only two choices. Promote them or kill them. Hey, man, promote them or get rid of them. And too many times in the church, we get mad at them because guess what? We usually don't want to run with the firebrands. I want to run with them. I want to go with them. I want to grow with them. Amen? I thought about one more character in this because there's another character in it, and I never seen it before, and I'm kind of preaching all these in a different order, but I wanted you to see this. Then Eli the prophet came. Amen? And Eli the prophet, I love where he finds her. He finds her at the house of God, praying in the doorway. But when he sees her, the first thing he says is, "You need to stop drinking." I don't know what kind of praying she was doing, but there's not a whole lot of things you can do to be look like you've been drinking all night that looks that awful. Amen? Are y'all getting what I'm saying? Her hair's matted up. She's bowed over. I believe she's cramping in her stomach and she's not making no sense. Matter of fact, the Bible says her words wasn't coming out of her mouth. She was just mouthing. I believe she had prayed so long and so hard that it almost reminds me of the bad days. Oh, God, I'll just get me out of this trouble. I'll never do this again, I promise. Oh, come on. Y'all so spiritual in here. God, I'll never do this again, I promise. Gosh, you sitting there going, I'll do this every day if I have to. I'll do this every year. I'm so desperate for you. That when the priest, you let anybody catch you being drunk, but not the prophet. The prophet gets, sis, you've been drinking all night long? She says, no, I'm not one of them women. I'm a woman who's bitter of spirit. I've got a broken spirit. I want a child from God, and she tells him, I'm praying for a child from God to give to God because it seems like, help me, it seems like God has put in my spirit that he wants a child from me for some reason, but he wants that child from himself. I'm just going to be a conduit who brings it. I'm praying that God gives me a child that I can give back to him. And at first glance, Eli's like, this don't make any sense. Be careful of who you laugh at, criticize, demean, or just demote in your mind, because that person who's praying over that godly thing in their life might be the person who rescues you or your child or your grandchild in the future. The person who's broken, weeping and crying for God to do something in their life, even though you're an experienced believer, that looks weird to you. But if you really think about it, Eli has two sons that are wicked prophets. And if Eli dies, the ministry dies with him. What she's doing is praying for a successor to Eli, and he doesn't even know it. What he's seeing is, oh my gosh, there's my replacement Amen. Guess what? He's going to save many people, help many people. He's the connection. See, when somebody's praying and broken over drug-addicted people, people that are sick and dying, homeless people, people that are in prison, people that are in worse shape, and you think, man, they're just tore up. Yeah, but we don't see it like, what if my child one day is locked up behind bars and everybody's trying to get to him? I don't know if you know what I'm talking about right there. In prison, the devil will try to get to him. You think the streets are bad, prison's worse. Or will it be a man or a woman who birthed? I feel like God's calling me into prison ministry. Well, that's crazy. What do you know about prison ministry? I don't. I just know that I want in there while everybody else is wanting out. Amen? And you'll think, well, that's a crazy thing. Until guess what? Somebody, that same person's leaning in the doorway of your son or your grandson or your relative, telling them about a Jesus who didn't give up on them. Probably a same Jesus you told them about in Sunday school or VBS or anywhere else. Now that same God is showing up through another vehicle, and you watched them at first. You were critical. Ain't that something? One more character and I'm done. God. God needed a man. He knew he needed a man. The two prophets that were coming, no good. But he also knew he needed a man to kick off the lineage that would bring forth Christ. And he didn't need somebody who was watered down. He needed somebody that was totally sold out, who would stand and anoint the next king of Israel, who would also be the lineage and line of Jesus Christ. See, when she was begging for a son, God, she was begging for a son who would be a prophet for his whole life. She was only praying for somebody who was going to anoint a king, who was going to be a king for eternity. See, what was in him, Samuel, was greater in Christ. He was going to be a prophet from the day he was born until the day that he died. Jesus was going to be God forever, and he needed somebody to kick that off. And he just got somebody who was desperate enough to say, I want to be something that I don't even know if I'm capable of being. I can just see it in my spirit. Some of y'all need to say this. I'm not too old, I'm not too young, and I'm not too in between. God, that thing in my spirit that you've always wanted me to do, I want to do it. I want to do it. Because I didn't just come here on a Wednesday night to pump you up about Samuel. I came here to pump you up about the thing that God's been pressing you to do for so long that you keep putting God off because it seems so radical and so crazy. And maybe you've got an adversary on one side and a hurdle on the other side. I don't know if I can do it because I'm limited here and I've got an adversary who says definitely can't do it. That might be just the thing that God would want you to do. And you say, well, wait a minute. What does it matter? That's Samuel and David, and that's to bring forth Christ. Yeah, but there is a second coming of Christ. And for him to come back, the last persons have to hear the gospel. Amen? There has to be a remnant of somebody still spreading the gospel until he comes. Somebody said it the other day, man, so-and-so's doing really good. So I want everybody to do good. I want our church to be a factory of evangelists, missionaries, pastors, and teachers. I want somebody to say, man, they're turning out some new people. That's what we're supposed to do. You say, well, we're going to need plenty of young people for that. Take the young person off of it. We need plenty of people to do that. Let's all stand.